Let's go to Proverbs chapter 30. I think is where we're going to start. We're actually going to kind of finish what we had talked about last week about appetites, and didn't quite get through everything, so I thought we'd just finish it. And so last week we talked about, honestly, about you either going to control your appetites or your appetites are going to control you, okay? And that was kind of the premise of it. And, you know, learning to say no, you know, one of the disciplines of being a disciple of Christ, just learning to say no. And, you know, I had several people come up to me, Brother Chad, that was hard. That was, you know, and listen, I struggle with the same thing. Like I said, I mean, it's just for everybody, there's going to be different things that it's hard for you to say no to. Okay. But it's a good discipline in life just to learn to say no, just to learn to deny. You know, the Bible, you know, being, if any man will follow me, let him what? Deny who? Himself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And we're just not, as I think especially as American Christians, we've just been handed everything. We're not willing to deny ourselves, you know, even the little things. And so anyway, learn to say no. And then secondly is, you know, with controlling your appetite, and this is just a real practical thing, is just stay full. Stay full. You know, if you're full, you're not as likely to want to satisfy that appetite. So that's kind of the second thing, and I'm going to talk about that some this morning. But Proverbs chapter number 30, we're going to use our Bibles quite a bit, show you several different things here out of the Bible. But Proverbs chapter 30, we're going to start at verse number 15. The Bible says, "The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give." You say, "Brother Chad, what does all that mean in the Bible?" I don't really know. There's just some things I'll just be straight up. I don't really know what it means. But the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. Then there's this statement. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. Now we're talking about your appetites, about being satisfied with different things, okay? And then it lists the four things. The grave, all right, and that's an obvious one. I mean, the grave, your appointment, my appointment with death is, you know, you can't cancel that appointment. You can't postpone that appointment. God alone can do that, all right? You might be able to expedite it in some ways, but when it's your time, God's gonna take you, okay? So the grave, you know, and for all, since Adam and Eve sinned, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and what? Death by sin, all right? And it's never satisfied, all right? It's always taking. It's always taking. Does that make sense? All right, so the grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, all right? You think about, we've had a dry summer this year, honestly. And you think about dry ground, you know, cracked, parched ground. And how much water, yeah, I mean, it can be so hard that the water runs off, but if it's just a gentle soaking rain, you know, you've been digging a hole and you just had a big rain and you go down 4 or 5 inches and you're dry again, right? You know, and so that earth that's dry, it could just keep soaking and soaking and soaking water in. And then the fire that saith not, it is enough. The fire that saith not, it is enough. Let's pray. Did I pray yet? I don't think I prayed, did I? All right, let's pray. We need to pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us to come to your house once again, Lord. Thank you for a beautiful sunrise this morning. I was just driving here to church. And God, just a reminder of your power, your greatness. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that you just give us to come to your house once again. And thank you for our pastor. Pray that you bless him today. Help Brother Nichols, he preaches. Just fill him with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. So this fire, the fire that saith not, it is enough. I preached a message one time, good servant, bad master. Good servant, bad master. And the premise of that was, you know, there's several things in life that are a good servant to us. If you use them wisely, it's a good servant. But if you let them have control, it's a bad master. Does that make sense? Fire is one of those things. Okay, and the Bible talks about that here. It's a good servant, but it's a bad master. I was singing the song. I learned it at Bill Rice Ranch, Brother Bob, when you took us to Bill Rice Ranch. I don't know. You know, I ought to have some really good spiritual memories of church camp. But as a junior, I don't know that I really made any like life-changing decisions at church camp, just to be quite honest with you. But you know, one thing I do remember, you know, Bill Rice Ranch had that big like arena, rodeo arena thing. And I remember the guy, he's like, all right, we're going to sing a song together. And it was, one dark night when we were all in bed, old McLeary took a lantern to the shed. And when the cow kicked it over, she turned around and said, it's going to be a hot time in the old town tonight. Fire, fire, fire. But Chad, why did you sing that? Well, the whole, if you know the story of the Chicago Fire, all right, basically that song, and of course the McLearys, they deny it, and then, you know, don't go to the internet, all right? There's like 10 theories about how the Chicago Fire started. There's a gambler, there is, you know, a thief, there was a comet that was dropping, you know, I think there's an alien theory in there someplace. But the most well-known one is Mrs. Leary, O'Leary, or whatever their name was. She was taking a lantern to go milk the cow, and the cow kicked the lantern over, caught the hay on fire, caught their barn on fire, and destroyed over 3 square miles of the city of Chicago. Okay, what is that? 300. There was over 300 people that died in the Great Chicago. They call it the Great Chicago Fire. There's been other fires in Chicago, but there is only one Great Chicago Fire. What is that? It was something that is a good tool, but when you let it become the master, it's very destructive. Does that make sense? And so I think that there is some things about, yeah, it's okay to have the appetite, but when the appetite has you, that's when you have problems, okay? And it could be a hobby, it could be, I mean, there's all kinds of things out there that it can be. But it's okay to have the appetite, but it's wrong when the appetite has you. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 27. And we're talking about staying full this morning. Proverbs chapter number 27. Let's look at verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 7. Bible says, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. That's, there again, what is? You'll eat a lot of things when you're really hungry, right? You know, if the kids don't want to eat supper, do you know a really good way to get them to eat is if they're hungry, right? Okay, well, we don't cater to our kids, okay? Whatever mom makes for supper, that's what you're eating for supper, okay? Because there's a problem with, listen, well, my kids just don't like that. Well, they should learn to like it. And you know how to get them to like it? Get them real hungry. Honestly. What are you teaching your kids when it's like, well, I know that you don't like it, so we're going to have this special dish over here for, what are you teaching them?
Right.
Whatever my appetite wants, that's what I get. Okay. Instead of saying, this is what you get, all right? And you can, listen, you're helping control the appetites, okay? Now, and I know that's not really, no, it is applicable. Because if you don't teach your kids that, no, you got to deny what you want and learn to eat what maybe you don't want, even though this is the better thing for you, you know, the full soul loatheth a honeycomb. How many's ever had real honeycomb? Like, legit honeycomb. Okay, I remember my dad coming home one day. There's a tree that had fallen down on the farm, a hollow tree, and it had the whole inside of that tree was basically a big honeycomb. The big old oak tree, and the whole inside of it was this honeycomb. And I remember him bringing that honeycomb home and putting it in jars, and it's amazing. All right, but the Bible says, So the full soul says, if you're full, you're like, well, I don't want that, okay? But to the hungry soul, what? Every bitter thing is sweet, all right? So it's important that we learn to stay full. We're going to go through the Bible here, and we're going to look at several different things, okay? Brother Chad, how can we stay full? All right, we're going to look at a few different things here. First of all, I think we ought to stay full. All right, let God satisfy you. All right, let your relationship with God satisfy you. Go to Psalms chapter 107. You use your Bibles quite a bit this morning. I'm just show you a few different things. There's a variety here. Some of them are very, I hate to say relationship with God's not practical. Psalms 107, look at verse number 8. Psalms 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Go to back to Psalms chapter number 17. Psalms chapter number 17. I think one of the reasons that David found such satisfaction, listen to this, I think that one of the reasons David found such satisfaction with his relationship with God, we call, you know, a David is a man after what? God's own heart. The reason he found such satisfaction is because that's what his appetite was, okay? That's what he desired. That's what he wanted. He wanted that he wanted that relationship with God. Psalm chapter number 17, look at verse number 15, if you could. Bible says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Flip over to Psalm chapter number 63. This whole chapter, quite honestly, I think it's a short one. We'll just read the whole thing. Psalm chapter number 63. I've got a Scofield Bible. It kind of gives a description below the chapter reference. This says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Okay? Probably not a good place in David's life as far as if you looked from the outside on his life. Okay? Let's read this chapter. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. You know what David was? David was searching for God. That was his appetite. That's what drove him, okay? And we all have, like I said, we all have appetites. Listen, and I know I harp on phones a lot and I harp on that stuff, but what do you pick up the first thing in the morning? When you get out of bed, what's the first thing you pick up? Think about it. What's the first thing that you pick up and look at? Most of us pick up a phone. See if anybody tried to get a hold of us that night. All right? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I mean, a lot of times I'll pick up my phone and see if I had any text messages or something. Okay? Somebody tried to... I always have my phone on vibrate. My phone is never... My ringer is never on. Okay? So if you can't get a hold of me, that's probably why. All right? Or I don't have service. But my phone is always on vibrate. But honestly, I'm going somewhere. What do you pick up first thing in the morning? Do you pick up the remote to watch the weather? There's nothing wrong with the weather. Okay? Do you pick up your phone? Because here's the thing. You pick it up, and you start with, I guess, seeing if somebody gets a hold of me. And then it goes to your feed. What is your feed feeding you? All right? We're talking about appetites, right? Okay? What's your feed feeding you? You know the internet's an amazing thing that there's all kinds of algorithms that you click on one thing two or three times and it knows what you're looking at. And it'll automatically pull up the next thing. If you're interested in sports, It'll pull up all kinds of sports advertisements. This news article about sports, that news article about sports. If you're looking at stuff, guys, that you shouldn't be looking at, it's going to pull it up. Okay? They got, you know, this whole AI thing. I know we're kind of in rural America, but this whole AI thing is a scary deal. This is not something. That whole chat bot thing, that's a scary deal. Okay? And I'm not a tech person, but there's no way that a computer, that computer does not have a soul. Okay? It may be smarter than me, all right? But it cannot communicate with God. Okay? And something that has no ability to communicate with God, okay, is only based on what it is fed. All right? But that's a whole nother thing. But what are you picking up first thing in the morning? What did David say here? O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You know, I think sometimes the reason we're not satisfied with God is because we don't have an appetite for God. Okay? You pull up your phone or you pull up the remote and you're watching, you know, whatever, the outdoor channel or the news or whatever, and what's it feeding you? What appetites is it giving to you? Okay? And none of us like this because it's going against our flesh, what our flesh likes to do. All right? But this is good for us. This is good for me. All right? I have to be careful. I'll have a magazine laying there, and, you know, I got the Bible and the magazine beside each other. And, you know, sometimes you know what my flesh wants to do? Just pick up the Northern Tool magazine and start flipping through it. It is. That's what it. Or Cabela's. I'll just get a Cabela's magazine or a Bass Pro, whatever. They're one and the same now, basically. But I'll get Cabela's magazine. It'll be sitting there, and I'll start flipping through it. That's not an accident, folks. All right? We got to be careful about that. What satisfies your soul? Psalms chapter number 90. We're talking about God satisfying us. Psalms chapter number 90. This is a prayer of Moses. Look at verse number 14. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Satisfy us with thy mercy. Like I said, I think God needs to be something that satisfies us. All right? Your relationship with God is important, folks. If I fail in my relationship with God, I fail in a lot of other areas of my life. Okay? So God is first and foremost. Let's have an appetite for God. Secondly, go to Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. I just basically did a word study on the word satisfy, full, satisfaction. So that's where all these have come from. Proverbs chapter number 12. Secondly, I believe that hard work satisfies. There's just something about at the end of the day, you work hard and you look back and there's something satisfactory about that. Okay? Right. It's a Bible principle. Proverbs chapter number 12. Look at verse number 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Proverbs chapter 12, same chapter. Look at verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth. Look at this. And the recompense of a man's what? Hands shall be rendered unto him. Okay? Proverbs chapter number 20. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. We'll come back to that Proverbs chapter 12. There's another application there too. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 13. Bible says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. You know, everybody has a different way of working, you know, and it's all work, okay? There's some people that work, you know, with their hands, and then there's some people that, you know, just because you sit at a desk in an office, right? Brother Chuck does office work. You know, he's still working, all right? It's not the fact that he's not working. It's just a different type of work, okay? My work here at church is different than, let's say, pastor's work at church. My work here at church is different from Brother Young's work at church, Does that make sense? But we're all working. But there is something about working hard that you, at the end of the day, you look back and it's like, all right, we got something done today. You know, there's nothing more discouraging than at the end of the day, you work really hard and you're working and working and working, and you look back and it's like, it don't feel like you got anything done. Isn't that a discouraging day when it's like, I don't feel like I got, ladies, you know, you've worked really hard to try to clean the house and you look back and the kids have been home all day along with you and, you know, you got everything clean and you look back and it doesn't really like look like you made a difference, right? You know, you've done 3 loads of laundry and the hampers are still full, that type of day, you know, and it happens. But there's something at the end of the day, and I think most ladies could, you know, you relate to this too. But at the end of the day, you finally get the house, you know, you feel like you finally got the reins back of the house and you look back and all the counters are cleaned off and everything's clean. And it's like you can finally just go to bed and you don't feel like there's loose ends everywhere. Okay, I know my wife's that way. It drives her nuts. Sometimes it's like, it just doesn't seem like I can catch up. All right? But there is something satisfactory about just hard work. Amen. Just getting it done. The last couple work days we've had here at church, the last couple Saturdays. You know what? At the end of the day, there's some days that it doesn't, yeah, you've been here and you've worked all day, but you don't feel like you've made any progress. Okay, that's just some stages of the building process. But then there's other times it's like, oh, we have walls now. Well, that's nice, right? And it's satisfactory. It's a good thing. We've hurt our culture by allowing people to get out of hard work. We've killed our culture by allowing people to get out of hard work, okay? Because now we've transferred their appetites from developing an appetite. You know, the best thing my dad ever taught me, okay? You said, Brother Chad, where'd you learn the stuff that God's enabled you to learn, okay? A lot of it's from my dad. But my dad will tell you that there's some things that I can do that he didn't teach me. So you know what the best thing my dad taught me was a work ethic. The work ethic, the drive to work. We've got all kinds of kids out here that have no drive, okay? They don't care whether they're working or not. And what have we nurtured in their life? An appetite for something besides hard work, okay? Because I think that is something that is nurtured in a child. I'm thankful for the time that I went over to Tom Walton's and worked in his turkey barns, all right? That was like a rite of passage. When I was growing up, that was like a rite of passage, okay? There was working in the barns with Tom Walton and getting from one end of the ledge back here on the steps to the other without falling off. That was your rite of passage growing up. But when I was growing up, the stairs weren't right there. The stairs were the other direction. Remember how the stairs used to curve around the other direction? And, you know, these kids are pansies. That was a ledge, you know, back then, all right? You know, there's just some things in life that it's good for you to learn. And it was good. I remember, you know, I don't know if it was before I started help. We have turkey barns cat a corner from our house, if you know where I live. And I talked to the neighbor. His name was Warren. And I said, can I come help you do loadout? And he was like, no, I don't want, because I was young, like really young. It's like, I don't want, you know, I was too young to come do it. Well, I would start going across at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd walk across the little corner of woods to the turkey barn and go help them do loadout, right? And then I would go to school the next day. And you know what? It was good for me to learn to do that. I remember one time me and my dad, I was running a tractor in front of my dad. He was planting corn, and I was working ground in front of him. And we had a long day. We started like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I think. And we had rain coming. And anybody that knows how it is, you got rain coming, and you know, Brother Josh, you hit it as hard as you can. He was baling hay yesterday, and you know, I called him and said, hey, you know, I got guys. We can jump off of what we're doing. All we're doing is painting walls. Paint can wait until it's other time. You know what we needed to get done? Get the hay off the ground. Okay, and I called him. He was already rolling it up by then. We had to go put up some hay yesterday. You know, we left painting to go put up hay. All right, there's just some things you do. But I was working, and I thought, I'm going to get ahead of Dad tonight. So I'm going to work all night long. That way he's got plenty of ground that he can plant tomorrow. And so I come rolling in at like 6 o'clock the next morning. So we'd worked all day. I come in like at 6 o'clock. Dad and the tractor's not there. His planter and the tractor wasn't there. I'm like, what in the world? So I go ahead and I grease the tractor, I grease the disc, you know, I fuel it up. And here comes Dad driving in. I thought, well, maybe he left already. No, he's driving in, and he'd been up all night planting. So I wasn't ahead of him whatsoever. So you know what we did? Greased everything, fueled everything back up, and got back in the tractor and did it again. We worked 48 hours straight. Would you do it again? Probably not. Let it rain. Just let it rain. We'll get it tomorrow. But you know what? It was good for me. It was good for me to watch my dad just keep on going. All right? It's good. Hard work is a good thing. And we've lost that in our culture today of a generation. You know, they'd rather go play their video game than go to work. And look what it's doing to our culture. Okay? Listen, I'm all for closing the borders. Okay? If somebody wants to come over here legally, I'm 100% for them. But here's my problem. I'm glad for the Mexicans that are coming here to work. I have no problem with that. But my problem is we don't have enough white boys that got enough gumption to get out there and just work hard. You know the jobs that the Mexicans, the Hispanic people have here are labor-intensive jobs. They're roofing. They're detasseling corn. All right? They're picking up melons. That's the jobs that 13, 14, 15-year-old boys around here used to have. But they're stinking lazy. It's good for them to go out. Listen, I've never detasseled corn. Okay, I'm not. But a lot of you have detasseled corn. Okay? It's good for them to go detassel corn. You know the reason that square bales of hay right now are, what, Josh? $6 a bale for just grass? Good luck finding help to go put hay up. Good luck. You can't find it. You can't find a boy that's willing to just go out and sweat and work and labor and breathe hay dust, all right? You can't find them. And it's killing our culture. It's killing our culture. Hey, if we've got something where there's an opportunity, listen, if you got an opportunity for your boy or your daughter, for that matter, to go work hard, I'm glad my dad let me go work for you. I got great memories. It's the good days. I mean, we'd work all night and then we had the meat wagon day. You know, we're driving deer and we had that truck full of, well, 6-7 deer in that truck. But we worked and then we went out. Yeah, we work hard, but we go play hard too. All right, I don't have a problem with that, okay? But we always worked before we went and played usually. Hey, you want to go drive? This is the thing. You want to go drive deer? Oh, yeah, that sounds great. All right, we got to go pick up dead first. That was like the free labor thing, right? Right? We're going to go ride four-wheelers. Yeah, but we got to make sure all the litter's down in the barn first. Oh, all right, we'll go. All right, listen, hard work never hurt anybody. But we've lost that in our culture. It's satisfying. It's a satisfying thing. I get tired. I worked almost 90 hours this week. I get tired. But when at the end of the week, after the work day yesterday, and we're close to where we needed to be at the end of the day yesterday, it's satisfying. All right, I think we're on track. Listen, from studs 3 weeks ago to having the Nichols moved into this house in 3 weeks, I don't care what crew you're talking to, that's a pretty short time frame. All right? But it's satisfying. Yeah, we knocked that and we hammered that. Okay? It's a satisfying thing. Hard work satisfies. Proverbs 14. What else satisfies, Brother Chad? A clear conscience is a satisfying thing. A clear conscience. Proverbs 14, verse 14. The Bible says, a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. An inner satisfaction. Why? Because he's a good man. He can go to sleep at night because he didn't cheat somebody. That's satisfying. Okay? It's a satisfying thing when you've got a clear conscience. All right? Proverbs chapter 19. Good man shall be satisfied from himself. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Brother Chad, what's the fear of the Lord? I think it's this consciousness of God all the time, that God's always watching. Okay, that's kind of what, in a nutshell, I feel like that's kind of what the fear of the Lord is God's always watching me. God knows that business transaction I just did, whether it was an honest business transaction or an unjust business transaction. God knows that. And so this fear of the Lord, it's a satisfying thing because it's like, okay, I can go to sleep tonight knowing that God knows that I did my best. This verse just came to my mind. I think it's in, I'm going to misquote it, but the Bible talks about servants obeying their masters, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart as unto God. And I know I kind of butchered that. But you know what? It's talking about a servant doing his job, not because the boss is watching, but because God is watching. Living with that clear conscience of okay, whether my boss is here watching or not, I need to do a good job. Okay? The fear of the Lord, it gives us a satisfaction. Proverbs chapter 12. This is the next one. And we already read this verse in relation to something else. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 14. The Bible says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. I believe that proper speech, words spoken properly, is a way of satisfaction. There's another verse, Proverbs chapter 18. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. We've all lived with regrets. At least Brother Chad will stand up here and probably raise both hands and say, there are things that I've said in my life that I wish I would have never said. Okay? I'll stand up here and say that. There's things I regret saying. But you know, words are one of those things that once you say them, it's like one of those taking back, right? Proverbs chapter number 18, verse 20. Baba says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. All right? Folks, let's make sure that the words that we say, we don't live with regret because we said them. All right? Be sad. You know, it's nice when you can text somebody. Brother Eric Ramos. Remember Brother Eric? Kind of a dark-complected guy from Fairhaven. Super nice guy. He does this thing, and he's done it twice, two or three times. He said, Brother Chad, can I have your phone number? And he got it from something when I had to run a service for him or something, and he got my phone number. Every month or something, he has a prayer list, and every month or so, he sends me a text message, and tells me he's praying for me. And I'm just Chad Gordon, all right? I am nobody special, all right? But he sends me a text. I don't know if I can even find it in here, but he sends me a text, and he just says, "Hey, Brother Chad, I'm praying for you." Oh, here it is. Good morning. I trust you have had a tremendous week so far. Just wanted to let you know that this morning I was thinking of you all and asking the Lord for special strength and help as you continue to faithfully serve him. May the Lord continue to bless your family, your health, and your faithfulness. Have a wonderful day. Eric Ramos. You know what? He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. Wouldn't it be nice instead of, you know, messaging somebody or texting somebody something that you know, gossip or something like that. Instead of doing that, you could just, you know, text somebody, hey, praying for you this morning. Hope you have a wonderful day. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. But let's go to James, and we read about it in James. Brother Nichols, I think, is teaching through James. He'll get to the tongue, all right? But the tongue is an unruly evil, all right? Let's let our speech, let's be sad, let's sleep at night knowing that, hey, I didn't say anything today that I shouldn't have said, all right? Proper speech. Proper relationships. Go to Proverbs chapter 5. This should be our last one. Proverbs chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 15. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible says, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Listen, folks, let the relationships of your life satisfy you. Men, let's be satisfied with our wives. With your wife, with my wife, we need to be satisfied with them. Okay? And I hit this last week. You know, one of the most dangerous things, that it's an unspoken thing. People don't want to talk about it from the pulpit, and I don't really, it's a dangerous thing, and it needs to be talked about, okay? Maybe more split session stuff, but the whole pornography thing in America is running rampant. It's everywhere, okay? And we have access to it 24/7. Used to, you had to have, you know, they threw the magazines under the bed or whatever. Now they just carry it in their pocket, okay? Be satisfied with your wife. Quit lusting, quit coveting, all right? Another man's wife. Be satisfied with your wife. You know who I love more than anyone else, all right? Is that lady right there. That beautiful lady right there. All right? And we may be in the nursing home together, and I'll still be flirting with her. All right? We may have to put our teeth in before we kiss, but hey, we'll still kiss, okay? Listen, I want to be satisfied with her. But ladies, listen to me. It's not just a one-way street here. Be satisfied with the husband that God gave you. You know, we all put our pants on one leg at a time. We're all human beings. We're all flesh. There are no, you know, there are no supermen out there. Okay? You may think you marry one when you first get married. Oh, he is, you know, the knight in shining armor. You know, he's the stay in the castle knight that rides up to the castle. You know, he is that knight. But you realize he's made out of flesh and blood too. I leave my socks on the floor. I cut my hair inevitably, which I cut my hair, oddly enough, you'd think I would cut my hair less now that I have less hair. I cut my hair more often because I've gotten to the place that it's just easier just to buzz it, and you don't even have to take care of it at that point. So you just buzz it, and then you're good for 3 or 4 days, all right? And if you're not there and you're going down that road, you'll understand what I'm talking about later, all right? I'm not the Mr. Clean. This is kind of a whole side note. I'm not the Mr. Clean guy. I'm not going to go that route because then you got to maintenance that too. You got to shave it and everything. I'm just going to go with the buzz thing until it all is gone, okay? But you know what? I inevitably cut my hair in the bathroom the day she cleans the bathroom. right? You know, so I got hair left on the sink, and I tried. I mean, I'm somewhat conscientious, somewhat being the key word, okay? I wipe the sink out, and I try to get it cleaned up, you know. But I do stuff, okay? I'm going to go down this road. You probably knew I was. All right. So I walk in the closet, right? And my wife, she's not OCD. But she's got, and maybe you ladies are like this, okay? And I am thankful for this, okay? My clothes, when I go in my drawer, she has this fancy way of folding clothes. And they're all like, it's like a military thing or something. But they're all like folded up and tucked into each other, okay? And so like all my shirts are all lined up. And, you know, socks, all that's all lined up, okay? Well, I go in the closet, and when I take a hanger off and I hang my suit jacket up, I don't know. This is the way I do it, okay? I take the hanger, and I put it in here, wrap it around, and hang it up. Well, she's like left-handed or something. She's not, but I don't know what she does. But when she hangs my suits up, they all face the right-hand side. When I hang my suits up, just because the way I do it, Brother Ali, they all face the opposite direction. And she come in the closet one day, and she's like, I was hanging my shirt up, like I had just worn a shirt, and I was hanging it up backwards, okay? She's like, you're hanging it up wrong. I'm at least hanging my shirt up. What, I mean, I could throw it on the floor. I'm hanging my shirt up backwards, okay? Hanging it up. Now, ladies in here are probably like, oh, I can't believe you hung it up backwards, right? Guys are like, he at least hung his shirt up, okay? I'd say, you know, listen, I drive her crazy sometimes, okay? But it ain't worth getting in an argument over. She needs to hang the shirts up the other direction. No, I know, I'm kidding. You know what I've consciously tried to start doing? Even though it's completely like backwards for me, it feels completely backwards, is I try to hang my shirts up the same direction. Okay? Do I do it all right all the time? She's shaking her head no. All right? But listen, hey, wives, your husband's going to have some idiotic syncrasies. Isn't that the word? Idiotic syncrasies, whatever. He's going to pull idiotic stuff sometimes, okay? But be satisfied with him, okay? The next guy's going to have some stupid stuff too. It may not be the same ones. They'll probably be worse. Okay? Let's just be satisfied with the person that God has given us in every way, in all ways, okay? Because otherwise, your appetites are going to control you. It's like that fire. It's a good servant, but a bad master. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to look at your word once again. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.